One of the first things I did after the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001, was to launch a comedy career, a comedy act, stand-up comedy, in which I use humor to reintroduce Arabs and Muslims to the American people. And I was prompted to do that because I was giving a presentation at a university group there of students, about 300 of them. And afterwards, a lady, maybe a teacher, I don't know, an older lady, came up to me and whispered, "I can't believe you abandoned your Christian faith to become an Arab." Yeah, I'm like you. I'm looking at her like, what the heck are you talking about? And God, I hope you're not teaching our kids their education, because that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Yes, I'm a Christian Palestinian. My mother's from Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. In fact, I joke that Jesus is my cousin. My father's from Jerusalem. We're Palestinian Arab. We didn't abandon our Christian faith to become Arabs. Christians were Arabs. So it's just ridiculous. So that's the kind of thing that really shocked me. The fact that this woman who's educated at a university didn't even know the basics. How do you explain the truth to somebody like that? So I just started making jokes with her. I started saying, "Oh, don't give me any grief. I've just been cavity searched 3 times coming into this building. I'm tired of it, although it is the best sex I get." She started laughing. And I decided, you know, I'm going to use humor to see if I can break through that ignorance, that naive attitude that allows people to stereotype and hate. I believe that if we can laugh together, we can live together. So I put together my comedy routine, my stand-up comedy. And it basically involved different aspects of humor. One was self-deprecating humor, where I made fun of myself growing up Arab in America. Well, one of the jokes that I always had fun telling people was an actual event that happened to me as a kid during the 1967 war. All the kids surrounded me, and they said, "Where are you from? What are you?" And I said, "Well, I'm an American." "But no, you're not." I said, "Yes, I am. I'm an American." They said, "No, you're not. You're not an American. You don't look American." So I remember going back home, and I told my dad, I said, "Dad, the kids are saying that I'm not American. What am I?" And he said, "Oh, God, don't tell them you're Palestinian. That's just going to cause trouble. Tell them that you're Syrian or Lebanese." And I'm thinking, okay, I didn't even know what those were. So I went back to school. I remember the kids surrounded me again, and they said, "What are you?" And I said, "Well, I'm cereal, but I think my mother's a lesbian. I don't know." Of course, I was the most popular kid at school that week because everybody wants to be cereal. So I did some self-deprecating jokes like that. I made fun of myself. I did jokes about the politics of terrorism, you know, and how being Arab American, people look at me and, you know, they think I'm the terrorist, or they want to take their anger out at me because the terrorists of September 11th committed suicide. So they're not there to be punished. We can't punish them for what they did. So people look around to find the next best thing to punish. And of course, that's me, because I'm Arab and I look Arab. So they ask me weird things, and I talk about what I have to do when I go through security and all kinds of stuff. For example, going through security at the airport, the question I get most asked, "Are you on my flight?" Well, that gets a big laugh all the time. The other part of my comedy has to do with the fact that I am Christian Palestinian, and my wife and son from this third marriage are Jewish. My daughter from my first marriage, of course, is Catholic, and so we have kind of very diverse household. But the fact that I'm Palestinian and my wife is Jewish makes for endless comedy at the dinner table, at our marriage. So I go through that whole routine. I think if you go online on YouTube, you will find some of my stand-up comedy that I do. And I still perform for groups today. So I put all that together, and one day Zany's, one of the biggest comedy clubs in the United States, heard that there was an Arab doing comedy in Chicago. So they reached out to me through a friend, Todd Whitman, a great guy. And they said, hey, come to Zany's and we'll put you on stage. If we like you, we'll have you do some comedy. And they liked it. And then they put me in a comedy class with a great comedy teacher. And I started doing shows at Zany's. I graduated from the class. I started doing shows. And after about 6 months of being like, you know, the feature, the opening act. And the opening act is like 10 minutes. Then they have the feature act. And then they have the main act. You know, it's like usually three comedians, 10 minutes, then 20 minutes, and 45 minutes. And the big headliner is what, you know, the person everybody comes to see. Well, after 6 months, they gave me my own show. They made me the headliner. And they said, okay, you're going to have your own show. You're going to get up there 9 shows over a 6-day period. I think it was like every day, Tuesday through Sunday. I think there was no show on Monday. And Friday and Saturday, they had 2 shows. So I don't know. Do the math. Figure it out. So I said, hey, I'd love to do it. So now that was booked 3 months ahead of time. And of course, people had to buy tickets. So they're all my relatives, all my friends. They bought out the first 6 shows out of the 9 shows. And then about 4 weeks prior to my show beginning, which was in about, it was scheduled over Labor Day weekend, so it was like the end of August, and which was a slow weekend. You know, Zany's isn't going to put me up on the busiest week of the year. They picked a slow one, but they didn't care. I was able to sell out every seat, you know, in those first 6 shows. That first show, all my wife was there with family, her family. There were reporters that had wanted to cover it because they thought it was unusual. They were going to do a story. And believe me, Zany's booked me because they knew it would be news. They didn't book an Arab comedian because they thought it was just going to sell tickets. They knew it was a big news story. So that's why they put me on the bill. So I had my own shows. And about 6 weeks before, I think, Rick Hewitt, who was the owner, he passed away, I think, about 10 years ago or about 10 years after this happened. And he said, hey, Jackie Mason called, and he needs a place to practice for a Broadway show that he's going to be doing in New York in September. So he needs a few days to get some practice. Do you mind if he headlines the first 3 of your shows and you can be the opening act? I said, of course, I don't mind. That would be great. I said to Rick, though, I said, listen, Rick, and by the way, he was a Vietnam veteran. I was a Vietnam era veteran. So we really got along great. Rick Hewitt was a great guy. Really, he was good. He gave me some great pointers, and he's the one who nurtured my career. I can't say that about everybody at Zany's because to them, I was just one of hundreds of comedians that they had to deal with. And a lot of comics are just egomaniacs. So I told Rick, I said, listen, Rick, make sure you tell Jackie Mason that I'm Arab and that I'm Palestinian. Because I don't know if you know it or not, but Palestinians and Israelis, Arabs and Jews, we don't get along. There's a war going on. People are killing each other. And he goes, hey, this is comedy. We make fun of politics. We don't engage in politics. That's what you said. And I said, okay, no problem, Rick. You've been doing this for I don't know how many decades. You know better than me. Zany's is the best, most popular club in the United States. So I'm happy to do it. Everything was fine. That was 6 weeks ahead of time. Then they told me, okay, you can go ahead and publicize it, you know, the week of. So the morning of the show, either the morning of or the night before, maybe it was the night before, I did the Rokan show on WLS talking about my comedy that I got this big break and that Jackie Mason was going to be on stage. And this is huge. There's a Jewish comedian, Jackie Mason, a former rabbi, and a Palestinian activist doing stand-up comedy together. And my mantra was, you know, comedy for peace. And my slogan was, if we can laugh together, we can live together. So I'm thinking, hey, this is great. This is going to turn out really good. So Jackie Mason hears from some people, obviously being Palestinian. A lot of people don't like me. Some people like me, some people don't. That's part of the price that you pay when you're an opinion columnist. I put my opinions out there. Some people like them, some people don't. And most, and especially in politics, the gap between people who like you and people who hate you is huge. There's no compromise there. So some people that hated me called Jackie Mason's wife in New York, Jill Rosenfeld, I think was her name, and said, oh, this Palestinian is a Jew hater. You know, he's an anti-Semite. He calls for killing the Jews or whatever. Some crazy stuff. So Jill, frantic, this is the night of, the morning of the show, probably the afternoon, and she calls Jackie, who's in Chicago, and she says, you can't hit, this guy can't open. And she calls the club manager, I think it was Linda Moses at the time, who I really didn't know very well. It seemed like a nice lady, but she, you know, she had a job on line, you know, there at Zany. She's not going to lose her job for me. They tell her, you know, he can't open. And I'm at home about an hour and a half before the show starts. You know, I was just getting ready. My wife was down there already. The relatives were at the show. Everybody was getting seated. My friends, all kinds of people, and reporters from the Associated Press, from the Sun-Times, from, you know, I think the Tribune, I can't remember. And Linda Moses calls me up like about 90 minutes before the show, and she goes, I've never had to do this before. You can't open for Jackie Mason. We had to put somebody else, this Irish Hispanic comedian, Patricia, whatever her name is. There's so many of them. It just... my comedy was so unique. Their comedy is so run-of-the-mill, I'm telling you. So I said, you're kidding me. And they said, no, you can't do it. We're sorry. This will just be 3 days. You know, then you can, you know, open on, let's see, that was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You can open. You can do your show Friday, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, and one show on Sunday, or two shows on Sunday. So I said, you know, that's crazy. So I hang up with her. I try to call my wife to say, hey, they just told me, you know, I'm not back there. And then she says, they just announced it on the stage that you can't open because Jackie Mason says that you can't open for him. And it has to do with the fact that he's Jewish and you're Arab Palestinian. And then I start getting calls from all the media, the Associated Press, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the Today Show, Good Morning America, CBS Morning News, Phil Donahue, even that moron Sean Hannity, although he had a guy Combs who was pretty decent, they wanted me on their show, although I think Sean Hannity's an ass. He's such a jerk. He's a racist. If you talk about anybody that's a racist, that Sean Hannity is such a putz. So they're calling me up, and I'm going, hey, I can only tell you what I was told, that I can't perform because I'm Palestinian. And, of course, the Associated Press, thankfully, good reporter. There are not a lot of great reporters out there. He called Jill Rosenfeld, who is Jackie Mason's manager and wife, and she said, well, it's not like he's just an Arab. He's Palestinian. Jackie Mason can't perform with a Palestinian, given everything that's happened. That night, the news blew up with the story about an Arab and an Israeli, a Jew and an Arab, a Palestinian and Israeli. Americans can't tell the difference between Jews, Israelis, Palestinians, you know, Arabs. They can't tell the difference between a Pakistani or a Palestinian, you know. So they're just, whatever they're writing. But the bottom line is this conflict broke out on this comedy stage, and it just unbelievable. It was front page headlines for 5 days. I was on the morning show every morning. I was on NBC Today Show And here Jackie Mason's another, he refuses to come on with me in person. And I'm saying, hey, you know, Matt Lauer, all I want to do is just bring people together. I'm not really a comedian. I'm just using it to bring people together for peace, you know, and stuff. And I told him my motto is, if we can laugh together, we can live together. And then Jackie brings on Jackie Mason. Jackie Mason's yelling, I don't care, I don't care. And Matt Lauer says, well, you know, his wife's a Jew. And he goes, I don't care, she's probably a self-hating Jew. And I'm going, oh my God. I said, this guy's attacking my wife and her family, and they're watching this. And I'm feeling bad for them. And then Matt turns to me and I said, listen, first of all, I want to apologize to my wife and her family. They never asked for this. This is unfair to them that he would bring up such ugliness in a discussion like this. It's terrible. And he just went on attacking me. And then Sean Hannity and then Jackie Mason's buddy, Ralph Felder, this goof attorney, I think he's out in Vegas or someplace. I have no idea where he was. A columnist who hates and attacks Arabs all over the place in his columns. We're all terrorists, I guess, to him. They all start attacking me. And then this goof, Phil Kadner, who's with the Southtown, starts attacking me in his column. Doesn't even interview me. He just writes a column, makes up shit. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with the society today? These people, they just have to, and they started playing politics with it, all of them. Even the Tribune guy, when I finally, you know, I told Zanies, I'm not going back to Zanies. I told them to go shove it. Because I'm not doing those remaining shows. I'll never go back to Zanies. And I boycotted Zanies. I refused to perform there. And I went to the Riddles Comedy Club, and I did my stand-up comedy there. They went out of their way to book a place for me on stage where I could do the comedy, and reporters flocked to Riddles. The owner there was really cool, and he deserved all the press and publicity. And I did my comedy there for the week, and the Tribune then sent a reporter, their comedy writer, who was African-American. I forget his name right now. Unfortunately, he passed away. I knew his wife, who was a reporter, too, for one of the TV stations, I think. But he came to the comedy spot, I think, was up north someplace in Lombard or Schaumburg, maybe. And he said, you know, do you use the F word? And I go, no, I don't use the F word. I don't like to use any bad language. He goes, well, you're not going to use the F word. No one's going to laugh. I said, well, you know, that's pretty sad commentary on stand-up comedy. Why don't you frickin' write about that? He goes, you're not going to use the F word. It's going to be a lousy show. So he went into the show like, you know, first of all, he didn't care about Arab-Israeli humor or me being Arab. You know, he's African-American. All he cares about is African-American comedy, and he trashed my show. He said it wasn't funny. I said, okay, you guys have an agenda, but I'll tell you what. Audiences were laughing. They loved it. The fact that a Palestinian could marry an Israeli woman and we'd get along. Now, we don't get along 100%. We disagree about everything, from the food, even our kid. You know, Aaron, he's Jewish, and I would joke that he's very patriotic. He's turned me into the FBI 3 times just this week. So I would do all these jokes, and people were laughing like crazy. And that's what happened. Well, as you know, obviously, Jackie Mason passed away about a week or so ago. And I had reached out to him, I think, 4 or 5 times, telling him, why don't we stand up on stage and do comedy together and do something positive to bring Arabs and Jews, Israelis and Palestinians together. He would never do it. And I think that was his big failing as a celebrity and a comedian. He had the opportunity to do some good, and he didn't want to do it. So I always felt bad about that. So and my condolences to his wife, Jill, his family, and even all his fans. He was a funny comedian. I enjoyed him. Like I said, I was excited to perform with him, and it was just tragic that that never got to happen. Anyway, thank you for listening, but that's the story of my venture into stand-up comedy. I still do comedy performances all over the country for college groups, for organizations. A lot of Arabs are mad at me because they don't like the comedy. They especially hate the self-deprecating comedy. And other than one comedian, Ahmed Ahmed, who has always been very supportive of me, and he really is the king of comedy. Ahmed Ahmed is the king of comedy. He was the first Arab American to be recognized for his stand-up comedy, and he's gone on to do some great things, including in Hollywood. I remember he called me up when my book, my humor book, came out, called I'm Glad I Look Like a Terrorist, Growing Up Arab in America. That book came out in 1996, 5 years before the September 11th attacks. And he said that he was getting into comedy and my book inspired him. So I salute him. And I think there were some jokes that were similar because when there, you know, the experience of Arabs in the United States going through airports, it's all the same. It's hard not to repeat some jokes. And I think the Wall Street Journal said something about, you know, he had that they liked my comedy. They did this beautiful piece on me. But they said he'd heard some of the jokes before. And I'm thinking, yeah, you heard them before because it happens to every Arab. You get asked the same stupid questions at the airport. Do you have any weapons of mass destruction on you? I am a weapon of mass destruction. I just had a whole bowl of tabbouleh. That combination of lemon juice, vinegar, and olive oil is going to stink up that plane, but for high hell. So, yeah, but then a lot of the other Arab comedians were mad at me because I wasn't just performing with Jews. I launched the Israeli-Palestinian comedy tour, and some of the other Arab comedians were angry with me because why would you appear with Israelis? You know, one of them, this woman comedian, I won't mention her name, she said, you know all the stuff to do for Palestinians and, you know, in the West Bank. And I go, yeah, I know all the stuff you do for, you know, the Palestinians in the West Bank, and I do stuff for the Palestinians in the West Bank, too. But that doesn't mean we can't work together or that you should pillory me. Anyway, that's what happened. It just it's just crazy. I think stand-up comedy is more political than politics. Anyway, thank you for listening. I'm Ray Hanania. I hope you enjoy all my podcasts on politics. I thought this one was kind of special because of what happened. And don't forget to subscribe to my free e-newsletter. It's very easy to do. Just go to suburbanchicagoland.com, and when you subscribe, you get access to special columns that I write that only go to subscribers, and you also get to see my syndicated column, which appears in the Southwest News newspaper group of 8 newspapers in the Chicagoland Midwest area. You get to see those before they're actually published in print or published online. So that's suburbanchicagoland.com. Thank you, everybody. Talk to you later. I hope you listen to my podcast in the future. Bye-bye.